That's right. We're right back here. I'm at Sharp Fast's gallery, and Gracie is very interested in what we're going to be talking about. In fact, I think she wants to grab the mic from me here this morning. I'll try to hold on to it. But we are very privileged to have Matt Long, who is the managing editor of South Carolina Radio Network. You hear his great booming voice on the radio, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, all during the half-hour breaks here on WCRS. It's my utmost pleasure to have him on the radio today. He has been doing a lot of work on what has been happening over there in 96 with the TB outbreak. We're going to be talking about that. Matt Long, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Absolutely. So, how's the weather down there in Columbia? We got clouds and a little bit of rain coming down. What's going on down there?
Oh, it's foggy and overcast like it's been most of this summer. That's okay, though. It's not. The heat is not stifling this way.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Well, you certainly have had a lot of things going on down there. I understand one of your jobs with South Carolina Radio News is that you cover the State House of Representatives during the assembly session. That keeps you pretty busy, doesn't it, Matt?
Oh, yes, they do. They're in session from, I guess, January till June, and oftentimes they've managed to work it into July, and sometimes they like to just meet for the heck of it in the fall as well. So
you never know when you've got to be running over there. Fortunately, what's really, really nice, for those of you that don't know, South Carolina Radio Network is actually right across the street from the State House there, correct?
Yes, we are. Right on. If you go across the corner, we're right there, so it's within walking distance. Whenever something breaks, it's just a quick 5-minute walk over. Don't even have to get in the car.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one other thing before we really talk about the TB, it's got to be pretty difficult to take a 4-minute newscast and keep everybody updated and cut things down to be able to make it easy for them to understand, give the information. It's got to be hard to decide what goes on the air and what you can't get on the air just because of time constraints.
Yeah, we try to keep the residents of South Carolina as informed as we can, try to throw about 5 or 6 stories at them in a 3-minute newscast. Try to do the best we can. Obviously, we miss stuff, but
sure. But
what can you do?
When you've got a big story, to figure out what you can get out there in that time. But although you do, of course, have the website, which makes it easy to expand on the stories.
Yes, we usually go into much more detail on our website, SouthCarolinaRadioNetwork.com. So if you ever hear our broadcast, want to find out more, you can just visit that, and we probably do a little better job there.
Sure. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what is happened, of course, up here in 96. You have done a lot of research about it. What can you tell us from what you have found out, Matt? I mean, I know you did a pretty intense study on this. It was what you were talking about on the news last week and on the website.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, of course the issue in Greenwood County right now, especially in the 96 region, is the fact that the State Department of Health and Environmental Control, which is, of course, known by the nickname DHEC, was notified on March 8th that an employee at a 96 primary school had possibly tuberculosis. They had taken a test that showed that they may have had the disease, and the public was not notified until the very end of May, which is almost 3 months later. And so myself and a lot of others of us in the media are trying to do is figure out why that took so long. You know, state law in these situations requires the public to be notified. And, of course, it's common sense because you don't want a disease such as tuberculosis to spread. If I could just really quickly explain, you know, tuberculosis is basically a virus that gets into the lungs, can get into the lungs, rather. And what people need to know is that a lot more people have tuberculosis, the germs, than actually have the disease. Only about 10% of people who actually get infected with the germs will show symptoms, and that 10% are the ones who can then spread it to other people. So the issue at 96 Primary School hinged along the fact of who has the virus and who just had the germs inside and wasn't contagious. And so basically, if you go to our story, and you can ask me a couple questions if you want to know a little more, Ann, but in a nutshell, the problems, it appears, from the documents we've obtained at DHEC, it appears the problems were there was a lot of confusion over whether this school employee actually had the virus and was infected and contagious, or if he had just had the germs and was not contagious.
But now we know that, that other people have it, right? So
Obviously he was contagious, of course, and it then spread to other employees and then students at the school. And of course, the big issue was that this employee apparently would not stay in quarantine. The low-level employees at DHEC had tried to quarantine him, but they did not have the authority to involuntarily quarantine him. Only the state DHEC director, whose name is Catherine Templeton, or the governor actually has the power to order that a person stay in quarantine, you know, locked up, essentially, can't leave home. That did not happen in this case because, as I said, there was a lot of confusion going on about whether they thought this employee actually had the virus or if he just had the germs. And unfortunately, what ended up happening is during that period of confusion, this employee kept going into the school, kept returning to work, ignoring the quarantine. And essentially, the issue was that his break room, the employee break room, is is connected by a duct to a classroom. The Spanish classroom, I believe it was. And the problem was, is the way this school works is that all the students from K-5 through the second grade cycle through that classroom at some point during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And so the germs, it's believed the germs from this gentleman made their way through the air duct into this adjoining room. And at first, DHEC only tested the teachers who worked in that room, and apparently they got some positive results back. But again, due to this confusion, the students were not tested until late May when basically all heck broke loose, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And now the totals are, I believe it's close to 70 faculty and students at the school actually have tested positive for either the germs or the disease itself. I believe the actual number that have the disease, as I said earlier, the stage that it's contagious, I think it's about a dozen.
Sure. You know, and I think one of the things that there was also a Wall Street Journal article done on this. It said that Catherine Templeton, the director, learned about the outbreak during an unrelated site visit to Greenwood County in late May.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's my understanding, too. And there are multiple lawsuits, as you would expect, being filed against DHEC and the Greenwood School District 52 right now over what happened. Some of the lawsuits are just trying to find out what happened. Others are trying to, you know, see if there's possible liability. Apparently, and from what I understand, all sides agree on this. The flow of information up the chain of command at DHEC never actually reached Director Templeton, who, as I said, was the only one, if you remember, who could actually order that this employee be quarantined. And
this unto itself sounds like a big problem to me.
Yes, and that's what myself and others are trying to investigate as to why she never found out. It's apparently, and again, this seems to be agreed on between all sides, is that I believe it was May 21st, but at some point very late in May, she was visiting the Greenwood offices for a completely different reason.
Right.
And one of these low-level nurses confronted her and said, "Why are you? What is taking so long? Why are you guys not acting on this? This is a problem." And Templeton had no clue what she was talking about, apparently. And so basically within a week later, this became public, and it appears that Templeton, well, heads rolled at the agency, and again, that's another long topic, because apparently there's been a couple of wrongful termination suits filed by employees who think they should not have been fired, especially these low-level staffers who said they were trying to warn their superiors, but the message got lost moving up the ladder. But again, as you said, Templeton, from everything I've heard, was not aware of this was going on until a week before it became public.
Well, I know that coming up on August 8th, they're actually going to have a meeting on this to try to get to the bottom of it. Do you have any insight on maybe what's going to be happening at the meeting, Matt?
Yes, I believe some of the things they're going to focus on is, again, what happened up that chain of command and was the policy not filed. Basically, as I was able to report in my story that I did last week, there are a couple of standards that DHEC is supposed to meet in order to basically for a case to be considered a confirmed case of tuberculosis, a.k.a. Now you have to notify the students at the school, test people at the school. And apparently, one of the steps in this confirmed case was that, you know, the employee passed all these three signs that showed they had the virus and they were contagious. And then the fourth step was that the agency had to notify the federal government, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For some reason, that fourth step never happened. And again, all four steps are required for a case to be confirmed. But every indication was the employee had the disease, but for some reason the agency never notified the federal government. Now, they are saying there was a computer issue. It was a malfunction in the network that was supposed to be used to send that message to the feds, which, of course, begs
the question. I'm sorry, Matt. I'm laughing. I'm sorry. I am laughing here.
Unfortunately, it would be comical if it wasn't some people's health at risk here.
Exactly.
But apparently, from what I am understanding and the documents that I have seen, is that because this fourth step, the government was not notified, did not happen, the case was not officially considered confirmed. And so when it went up to the superiors, they said, well, we don't have to do this because this isn't a confirmed case. And apparently there was a misunderstanding about what that actually meant by not being a confirmed case. So I suspect there will be a lot of questions in that regard. I also believe there are going to be questions about, you know, how did DHEC handle this with the school district? Were they up front, with district officials themselves? They claim at the district that DHEC was not making them aware how serious the issue actually was, and frankly, it's not clear that DHEC themselves realized how serious the issue was.
Yes, I know. You are a reporter. I'm a talk show host. I could go on about some parallels here between here we are with DHEC and our federal government, if you get my drift there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But again, it appears the issue was is that for whatever reason, DHEC did not notify the federal government, so therefore the case was not considered confirmed. And so by not being considered confirmed, it didn't automatically trigger these things DHEC was supposed to do. So it just appears that confusion ruled the day.
Except we're talking about people's health here and a disease that can travel very rapidly if left unchecked.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's clear, as there were a couple of interviews Director Templeton did about 2 weeks ago, and she herself said DHEC screwed up. But who at DHEC screwed up is probably going to be the answer or the question we hear asked a lot here in the next couple of weeks.
Sure. And our own Floyd Nicholson will be on that board asking questions down there on August 8th. Now,
Anna, the interesting thing with this is that, as of right now, anyway, there doesn't appear to be a lot of chatter amongst the legislators involved. A lot of times when something like this happens, you'll see, you know, say the Democrats will blame the Republican governor, or people with their own agenda will, you know,
sure,
condemn what happened. For some reason, and I think they're all just waiting to see what information comes out, that has not happened in this case. So far, I believe you spoke with Senator Nicholson last week, and he was very careful not to jump to any conclusions. And that seems to be the case for most senators, including a lot of Democrats who would probably score some political points here if this turns out to have been a screw-up by a, you know, Republican-controlled government.
Absolutely. Now, of course, I mean, we do need to say that the 96 elementary school, primary school, has been thoroughly cleaned. They say that they have got it totally clean, so there will not be any remnants of the of the bug there. I guess the only thing that would be the other side is if there are any students that end up, or teachers that are custodial people or work people that work for the school that end up in the school, then that, of course, could negate that cleaning.
Yes, and as I said, it appears the agency, I may be speaking too soon, but it appears the agency has got a handle on it now. The number of people that tested positive has stayed the same for about a month now, and I'm sure they're taking every steps to ensure that those people are kept away from the rest of the public. Now, there might be other people out there who don't realize they're infected.
Sure.
But as of right now, that number has stayed the same. But again, we just have to assume the agency was able to get a handle on it. We don't know otherwise.
Sure. But
and yes, they did clean the school, so all indications are it would be safe for students to return to school this fall.
Sure, and that's coming up real soon, so that's good news from that. Good news that on August 8th, hopefully we will get some answers and find out. You know, I think one of the basic things is where the responsibility laid for the lack of knowledge that was put out there in a much sooner date.
That's the $64,000 question, Ann.
All righty. Well, we'll be looking forward to your report. I know you'll be at that meeting, and we'll be looking forward to hear what you find out. Matt Long, South Carolina Radio Network, thanks so much for calling us this morning. It's nice for you to have you on the radio with us.
Thanks for having me, Ann, and you do good work up there in Greenwood, and we really do appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much. All right. Bye-bye, Matt.